Don't miss the OTR Super Sprint, SA's newest supercar event at the Bend Motorsport Park, 24th to the 26th of August. Get your tickets at thebend.com.au. Did you think the Rory Sloane contract was a big deal?
I'll be playing into the 30s there.
Think the North Korean agreement was historic?
This should have been done years ago.
Well, Triple M has some big news. We're very proud to announce Rocktober is coming back. Oh, hang on, wrong script. Roo and Dits have signed a brand new 3-year deal. For the next 3 years, you're stuck with Roo and Dits, with more superfood reviews.
You're talking about quinoa.
Yeah, quinoa. Yeah.
Is that the same as quinoa?
Yeah, but why is it quinoa?
I didn't write it. Well, I don't know.
Bloody spell it with a K.
More slogans for your suburb.
Happy Valley, we're all on the weed.
No. We what?
Well, we live in Happy Valley.
Oh, no.
Or Paradise. That's false advertising.
More getting names wrong.
Sporting superstars in the studio with us here right now.
Yes, we have, and we're talking about Andy Mundine. Good morning, Andy.
Anthony Mundine.
Anthony, sorry.
More investigations.
The radio mob that investigates any bad behaviour. I don't know.
But mob that investigate us from time to time.
More complaints.
Oh, Dits, we've had another complaint.
What?
We've had a complaint.
You're kidding.
More big stories.
Transgender chicken.
More expert footy commentary from Dits.
Open goal. Adelaide are in front.
Nearly.
They trail by 2 points.
And from Roy.
G's over the back in that graphic.
G for goal.
What do we pay you for special comments at Triple M?
Too much.
Yeah, well, whatever it is.
There'll be more of Roo explaining contests.
We are giving away killers tickets. How does it work?
Well, you have to ring us when we tell you to, and you have to say...
Are we going to ring them?
Are we ringing them?
Yeah, ringing them. So I'm glad I asked you this. Our listeners have registered. Ask me.
Keep it on Triple M.
At the drop of a hat, yep, we're raring to go.
You're in safe hands with Roo and Dits for the next 3 years.
Oh, bloody hell.
It's frightening.
Who the hell gave us a 3-year deal? If anyone should be on 1-year contracts, it's us.
The lunatics are running the asylum.
Anyway, we'll take it.
How haven't we won a radio award?
You can still get sacked, though.
Oh, can you?
Yeah. Forgetting. Yeah, if you do anything that breaches your contract. I don't know, get arrested or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So don't do anything wrong, all right?
Right. I'll try my best.
Yeah.
For 3 years?
You reckon you pay
it's
the cops.
It's like being on parole.
Port Adelaide anyway, don't you, Dits? You pay the cops off.
We pay them off, yeah. So there's no danger of me.
Nah, you're all good down there. Nah. Is your brother still a policeman?
Yeah. It's all family down
that's
there.
Good.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right, we'll just play up down there.
Uncle John's the sergeant
so
down there.
We got 3 more years.
Uncle Mick's the inspector.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Righto. So you and I getting up and looking at each other at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I haven't told Sarah yet. all good, Dits. Well done. We love having fun here at Triple M, and we're very happy to be here for 3 years. And
we do have fun.
Yeah. And good luck to the listeners. That's all I can say.
Yeah. All right. In a moment, Limo to join us. Roo and Dits on Triple M for 3 years. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo and Dits for breakfast. Roo. Talk about household names. This bloke is the biggest in the Ricciuto household, isn't he?
Well, this is the biggest TV event this weekend. Don't worry about that. This is going to be huge. I'm not even worried about the showdown.
I'm that
Saturday.
Nervous right now. We are talking about the return of Russell Coit. Russell, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, guys. Good to see you again. And everything's okay. Everything's okay since the last time I saw you guys when I actually backed into your cars and you were bogged. And I did my best. And, things happened. I know there was a bit of damage, but I know my people were talking to your people to fix it all up. So,
That's right.
They're not known for their speed, your people. They're a bit slow getting back to us. But, you know,
hard times. You know, I haven't been on TV for a while, so I haven't got the money rolling radio.
What have you been doing?
Oh, look, I've got my wildlife park. That's opened up again. Once the RSPCA closed it down. Which is good, which means I can have some live animals back in there as well, which is good. And I've got the petting zoo.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it's a crocodile petting zoo. So the kids can come in and bring your kids in. It's a hands-on experience. Unfortunately, it has been hands-off for the completely – well, not the whole hands were taken off, but part of their hands were taken off.
Well, that's all right.
But, so I've been busy with that, but that's going well. There's a bit of a court case with that being settled, but everything's pretty good.
Do you get a lot of overseas visitors, do you? Or?
Well, the interesting thing is that when people do have little accidents, I've learned how to say I better call an ambulance in six different languages.
Good.
Which is very handy.
Yeah. You know, 14 years, it's a long, long time to be away from TV. Has you been researching or what have you been
doing?
No,
I've been actually making programs, pilots for shows. Yeah. Outback Ninja was one that I was
Outback Ninja.
Where I have to have different challenges and I have to rope a steer, I've got to, you know, shear a sheep, and then I've got to artificially inseminate a cow.
Right.
It's all and then I've got the voice Kununurra. That was a good one. The judges sit on revolving chairs, they sit on revolving electronic bucking broncos.
Right.
And unfortunately I reckon it would have got up, but Delta Goodrum got bucked off totally.
What can we expect from the new series of All Aussie Adventures?
Oh, well, look, it's going to be all the things that you know, as in you've got all your survival stuff, you've got all your, you know, all your tips from me. And also we're going to have a real focus on camp cooking.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing stuff in my
MasterChef sort of stuff.
Oh, like the MasterChef. I'm going to be doing a Crockenbush damper, which is incredible.
Nice.
It's, really nice. And we also have the marsupial mystery box. So you have to guess what marsupial I'm cooking with tonight. Right. And the mystery is it endangered or not? So
right.
There lies the big quest for you guys.
Oh, beautiful stuff.
That'll have everyone on the edge of their seat.
I've heard you've got some exciting new Outback products as well that are coming out. Is that right?
Well, I know that you are interested in this because I'm bringing out a couple of things. I'm bringing out the Russell Coit All Aussie Adventures G-String.
Now,
look, it's fantastic. I tell you why. It's made from 100% artificial croc skin.
Mm.
It's made in Germany, and they come in three sizes, Ein, Klein, and Schlong. And I'm happy to get you. I think Roo, you wear them, don't you? You're happy with them, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I am. My kids love watching.
What size are you, Roo?
I'm Schlong, I think. But my kids just wanted to know, how often do you go skinny dipping, Russell?
Well, look, that's why I wear the G-string.
Mm.
Because if I do go naked, The native animals think that a certain part of my anatomy is a predatory animal.
Right.
And they will swoop down and attack. I've got some scars. Would you like to see the scars that I got the other day?
Maybe later. We'll do that a little bit later on. Hey, we don't know too much about your private life. Is there any romance or has there been any romance the last 14 years in your life, Russell?
Well, I'm very pleased to say that there is.
Hang on.
Yep, it's a long distance relationship with a lady. She's Russian. She just popped up on my screen the other day, and I put in the credit card number, and it was love at first sight. And Svetlana, if you are listening,
Svetlana,
Otplavia Adengi, which means I'm sending more money as soon as possible. And that I think you'll find that she'll end up being Mrs. Svetlana Coit very soon.
That'll do it for sure. Hey, just speaking of which, I'm sure she'll be wooed when she finally gets to meet you in person, which will be a big moment for you. You've got a new fragrance. You can just splash on a bit of
aftershave. That inspired it. It's called Coit with a K.
Mm.
Now, as you know, with fragrance, you get your top notes and your bottom notes.
Mm.
The top notes is eucalyptus, wattle. The base notes are like a diesel and a kerosene. And then there's the...
So it keeps mozzies away as well.
Well, the ladies one, that's called Coitus Interruptus. It's a perfume combined with insect repellent.
Oh.
It burns a little when it goes on.
Clever.
But both are available in all good service stations.
Now, good service stations, beautiful. Hey, I know you get sick of helping city slickers when they get out of the bush and they're unprepared and stuff like that, Russell. But where do you go to get away from people?
Well, where do I go to get away from people? I go to Channel 10. There's nobody there. But I city slickers, you know, they go out in the bush. My recommendation for them is to buy my guidebook on surviving in the outback.
Yeah.
The great thing about the book, if you are a city slicker, the book is, if you get into a survival situation, the book is edible. You can eat the whole book. And the last 20 pages are printed on soft tissue paper. So if you get short,
right.
you've got the last 20 pages to do what a man has to do.
That is a survival kit. That is a survival kit right there.
It is. And it's exactly what
ingenious.
You'd expect.
Ingenious. Yep. Yeah. Russell Coit, we are thrilled to have you on, seriously. And I know, Roo, you and the kids can't wait for that. And I and myself, by the way, but can't wait for this weekend. Russell Coit returns. All Aussie Adventures. Russell, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. And next time you're bogged, don't bother calling me.
All right. Thank you, Russell Coit. Well, there's a lot of wind happening today, Dits. They're talking about people staying inside as a health warning today.
Yes.
People over in Victoria and that have passed away.
We're going to have dangerous winds here today. I want to say dangerous, very, very high winds.
100 kilometre an hour, they're talking.
And they're talking about if your kids have got asthma or even adults, if you suffer, and especially old people, if you suffer from any respiratory sort of problems, they're suggesting, I think it's later in the afternoon though, Roo,
it's already starting
outside of school
out there
time.
This morning, wasn't it? It was howling at my joint when I got up, I walked out this morning. And this is off the back of, the drought happening as well. So there's a lot of topsoil that hasn't got any vegetation on at the moment. Yeah. So there'll be a lot of dust in the air, and that's where the hay fever and all that's going to come from, Dits. And then there's going to be a reasonable amount of rain later on. So it's going to be a wild and woolly day.
Mm.
So be prepared.
But they are taking this seriously. The health authorities have actually announced if your kids do suffer, they're saying late in the afternoon, don't have them outdoors. So that's how serious it is.
Yeah, so look out for that one, Dits. What do you reckon the best tap water is in the state?
No idea.
Have a guess.
Oh, well, where? What, in Burnside?
On the old Riverland.
The Riverland?
Yeah, of course it is.
Why have they got the best tap water?
They just said the tap water from the...
God, have you seen the Murray?
Absolutely. Hey, there's nothing wrong with river water. Don't ever have a crack at the Murray water.
You and your family peeing in it all these years and doing things in it and what?
Only
we drink
downstream from our joint, not upstream, Dits. You got to realise where you're doing it. Don't worry about that. But no, they say that the tap water in the Riverland is the best water in the state.
And how have they arrived at this decision?
Well, I don't get into the
ins and outs.
I just see the headline and say Riverland home to the best tap water, and that's good enough for me. All right. Okay.
Right.
I'll get back to you on.
Have they narrowed it down to your street or anything like that? Or is
something
it just
about Rasciutto Road there. Not sure what it is. But anyway, that's the key part of it.
Now, very serious topic. Another stabbing in a school yesterday, Roo.
Yep.
As soon as I heard about this, it made me wonder, you know, when we always hear about the shootings in high schools in America, do you think there's something in the psyche of these kids where there's notoriety? You know, I'm sure there's something to this where kids see that, that lad's been plastered all over the, worldwide news and he's on TV and they see him walk into a courtroom. And I reckon there's a fascination with some kids. And now, clearly, I'm guessing this. I'm just making an observation here.
The boys' ones, the one at Renmark, there's no doubt that was a connection.
Yeah, you think so?
Yep.
So they, even though it means the rest of your life in prison or whatever, I get the feeling that these kids may be loners or have never, ever had any attention and they see the fact that I can be on television and being right around the world. There's some notoriety with this. I don't know what it is or the fascination. And the reason I'm raising this is it a coincidence that only a week ago we had a girl stab another girl in a high school in the Riverland and now we've got one here in Adelaide just a week later? Or are they totally unrelated? Is it just another, is it a coincidence or?
Yeah, not sure, Dits. You can see both sides of it. We can definitely see the copycat side of it. I just don't get stabbings. I know I've said this that many times. I don't get it. I don't know how people could even do it.
Mm.
Like, I just don't, I do not get it.
There's a couple of questions come out of this, Roo. I've always thought about high school shootings and now you're talking about stabbings. Would never happen in my backyard. It's always America, isn't it? We hear about it all the time.
Just don't get how you can do it.
And now all of a sudden, twice in a week here in South Australia. So parents out there, are you actually feeling safe about your kids going to school now? Are we getting to the point where we're going to have to search kids for? And this is a great school, by the way. We're talking St. Dominic's here in North Adelaide. This is a very, very good school.
Forget about your point's right. Do you feel your kids safe going to school? But we're talking about our kids doing it.
Mm. I only spoke to a girl a week. You know, a good friends of ours, Pat Kelly, who's played for the New York Yankees, lives here in Adelaide because he married an Adelaide guy. But we were on a flight with his daughter coming back from the Gold Coast, and she went to school in America for a year or two. And I was interested to ask her. I said, "What is high school like in America?" And she actually didn't enjoy the experience. Now, I don't mean to talk about her and individualize her, but I just, you know, I don't know. You see images of high school in America on TV. Watch films like Grease, and you think, oh, high school's really cool over there. I wish I went to a school in America where, you know, the football team, you know, they're great, and the basketball team get thousands of people to watch their college teams. But I wonder if it is that good. And I don't know. Anyway, my question here is, are we feeling safe now about our kids going to school? And I don't mean to be dramatic, but, you know.
I don't know about girls either. I just can't believe girls would be doing this. I mean, I grew up in quite a, you know, like a great upbringing. I'm happy to, proud to say that. Quite aggressive when that wanted to be with boys and stuff like that. But we just would not even contemplate. You know, the most aggressive thing you do would be to punch someone.
Mm.
Right? And you'd never kick anyone when they were down. You'd never stomp on anyone.
No.
Heaven for, you'd never stab. You wouldn't even, it was just miles away from your mind.
Mm.
Like you'd stab an animal or something, that, you know, like if you're out, you know, shooting or something like, because that's what you did in the country.
Mm.
But you would never even consider harming an individual.
I'd go as far to say that I don't reckon our school staff, the teachers, would be trained for this either. Like in America, it's an everyday occurrence.
I would like to see penalties for knives and stabbing dramatically increased and just stamp this out. This is absolute garbage.
But if you're a school teacher yesterday going to this nice school in North Adelaide, whether you're male or female, I don't reckon you've gone to work thinking, now, if there's a stabbing today, I know what to do.
No, of course
not. It'd be totally out of the blue.
And the other thing is they should get, the penalties should be through the roof so that if they're into copycats, these kids, then they need to see that what happens to people who do it and just make it that bad that they don't want to be part of that scene.
I wouldn't mind taking a couple of calls on this. 133353. I mean, what is it like out in the – are there more incidents that we've never even heard of? I'd like to think not, but, you know, are we getting to the point where we're going to have to search kids and search their bags?
Come on, this is ridiculous. Parents, teachers, anyone with an opinion, give us a buzz. 133353. Give us a buzz right now on school stabbings.
Any teachers that are up and about right now, 133353, what is it like? Are we heading down the path of America? Surely not.
Yeah, we've got an anonymous caller. Hello, good morning.
How you going, boys?
Good, thank you.
What would you like to say?
Well, my missus is a teacher, and it's not only that, but these
primary
kids have
school
got no,
or high school?
Primary school. These kids have got no respect for anything or anyone. It's almost like they're entitled and spoilt. She's been assaulted 3 times in the last 12 months by students.
Assaulted?
Yep. Like, bashed in the face.
What?
Kicked, bitten, scratched, everything.
You've got to be
what
kidding.
Do they do? What is the what sort of penalties or response does the principal have?
You go from suspensions to send homes, depending on the severity of it. So it's pretty dismal, really. Yeah. Like, there's not much hope. And they're not allowed to do anything about it.
Yeah, and, well, that's an issue.
That's the problem, though. We put up with this stuff. We half deserve it.
Right, here's the problem. Now, I don't know how we reverse this because we've gone too far down the track.
Some tougher politicians.
Right, yeah, but
and some tougher people that set the rules for the whole bloody state.
Rue, we
and Australia
kids. When I was a kid, you were frightened of police and you were frightened of teachers and your parents, by the way.
Yeah, frightened slash respect.
When I say frightened, I mean respect. You didn't do anything wrong. If they said, these are the rules, you had to stick to them. These days, as this fella just said, his wife's been kicked and punched and no repercussions whatsoever. Now, I can remember going home with a detention note one day, Roo. I was that frightened to show my parents because I knew what was going to happen. So, first of all, I've copped it from my teacher. Then I've copped it from my parents. You were scared to put a foot out of line. Now, it's just common practice. And as we know, we've talked about this before, the parents ring the school and tell them they're wrong. Stop picking on my kid or you know, what happened to the days of parents actually going, right, well, you deserve this detention, cop it sweet and shut up and don't do it again.
That's exactly how I talked to my kids, seriously. In 1993, I actually went to Teachers College, albeit for about 9 months, right?
Mm.
But I could see in that 9 months, and it's seriously the majority of the reason I didn't go through with it, was that there is absolutely no all the pressures on the teacher. Mm. There is no discipline. There was that many rules that put you in a vulnerable situation. I said, stuff. There's no way.
Yeah.
I could have been a teacher in this era,
mm.
and that is why we are breeding kids that are pathetic.
Yeah, but and again, it's all the parents now. Don't they? First thing they do is ring the school and complain. Oh, my kid got kept in after school, or my kid got detention, or, you know, my kid didn't get picked in the footy team. I'll ring and complain. Well, in my day, it just didn't happen. It was the reverse. We got taught to be resilient and, you know, fight harder and work harder.
Let's go to Henley Beach. Roxanne.
Hi, boys. How are you this morning?
Good, Roxanne.
Okay, so I agree with Anonymous, and I believe it's not just in schools. I believe it's in life, the industry that I'm in, the crap that we have to go through, and people get away with things all the time. However, with this situation, my theory is, and I don't know the full story of what's gone on, but I also believe that, you know, we've got so much bullying and crap in schools. And again, there are rules and regulations that I don't believe get followed. And I think it could be that there's a frustration there. I'm being bullied. What do I do? How do I handle this? Make a wrong decision, bring a knife to school.
Yeah, I think bullying would have a fair bit to do with it.
Oh, absolutely. I just think that schools have got great policies, but it's the implementation. Too many kids in a class, whole load of things.
Yep.
And they have a duty of care. And I think sometimes the hierarchy... you know, oh, look at us, we've got this great policy, and look at us, we've got this great, rules to follow, but we don't follow the rules. And the respect, there is absolutely no respect in this world anymore. It just grinds my gears, I can tell you.
All right. Let's go to Coromandel Valley. G'day, Johnny.
How you going, boys?
Good,
how are you?
Good, Johnny.
I believe it's... the cyberbullying, mate. You just can't get away from it these days. And the kids go home and they got nothing. They can't vent it. They can't get away from it. So they just make the wrong decision, don't they? They just,
yep.
What are you going to do?
Yep. No, I think it's got a bit to do. I think it's got a fair bit to do with it. There's no doubt, Johnny.
All right. Thanks, yep. Johnny. Roo, I've shared this story with you before, but can I tell you, when my kids were in high school, I was at Saturday morning sport once, and this is just an example of, you know, how I'd like to see things work. And without being a square or an old fuddy-duddy, but the parents were talking about the fact that two boys had been kicked out of our school this particular week because they'd been found with marijuana at school. Headmaster on the spot said, right, go to your locker, get all your gear out and go home, go to another school, kick them out on the spot. And the parents were all standing around going, oh, gee, that was harsh. And I stood there and I said, no, this bloke's done the right thing. This headmaster in this modern era has said, zero tolerance. We're not putting up with this at our school. Go to another school. Now, Roo, you might say, oh, come on, it was only dope and kids will make that mistake. It's not about the dope and it's not about that. My point being, this bloke made a stand and said, we're gonna have some tough rules at this school. Yep. Go to another school. I actually liked it and I applauded it.
Yeah, I got no problem with upholding rules, and absolutely, as long as they're consistent and they're clear and all of that. So we've just been too soft on our kids. That's why the respect's like that. There's no doubt about that.
Mm.
We could talk about this forever.
All right, Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
Triple M. On Ruined Dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
For Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Champion midfield footballer for Port Adelaide and now winemaker, Brad. Brad, I had the Hey Diddle last Friday night.
I'm surprised you're not
good. Very, very nice.
I am very surprised. I thought I was going to sit in the cellar for a few
months. No. I reckon wine for me, wine's for drinking.
It is.
All these people that cell it and, oh, you know, let it out. No, it's bulldog. Drink it.
Mate, that's what we made it for.
The wine's made to be drank.
That's what we made it for. Yep.
I've got to tell you, I drank it with someone who actually knows their wine. I don't, but this person you said very, very nice. So.
Man, cheers, mate. No, well done. Appreciate the feedback. Yeah. It's always good to know.
So, Hey Diddle Wines is what we're talking about. Yes. I want to ask you a couple of personal things. We like to delve deep into our guest room and find out a bit more about them. Yep. Yesterday, we were talking to the metrosexuals. These are the boys that we have in now.
Yes.
How often do you cry? Are you a crier?
I haven't cried in a little while, but I do cry.
You'll be crying on Saturday.
Oh, righto.
You'll be that ecstatic.
We'll be crying with joy. Yeah. But
what
there,
makes
yeah,
you
we
cry?
Do.
You cry in movies or?
There has been a couple movies that have got me, yeah. So and it's are... just at random times. But yeah, normally I'm not like...
Since you've had Leo, that's what it does.
It does, mate. It changes things.
So you've got a sensitive side.
Oh, there's definitely a sensitive side there, mate. Yeah, for sure. That's if,
what
if
don't you cry, Dids?
Hard as nails.
Yeah. No, I cry.
Yeah, there's times.
Yeah, it sounded like a loaded question.
Every time we won a premiership, I cried.
What? In the 80s?
Now, I want to ask you, it's funny, Roo asked you before about Ollie Wines perhaps copping a spray at halftime. Mm-hmm. We were talking to the Metros yesterday about the fact that this, the whole thing about the new age, people of your age, Brad, we're led to believe, oh, you're not allowed to spray the players anymore. You've got to talk
can't
to them.
Can't be as critical. Yeah.
Whereas in the days of Foss Williams, Jack Odie, Neil Kerr,
spray was what you got.
Absolutely give it to them in front of the group and tell them how useless they are and you'll never play again and you're no good and you're pathetic. And so
soft.
Why, is that accurate? Like a coach can't talk to young players like that anymore?
Oh, I think that there's a time and a place. And there's, I think just the way that the generation is these days that people have probably been brought up a little bit different. And yeah, so there's probably a shift in the way that people and coaches and stuff have to be with their players. I think Kenny's still got that balance of he gives you a spray when it's there and he'll spray you and
but
stuff.
But I'm not just Ken. I will talk about in general. Is it a full on abuse or are they yelling at you with instruction?
No, it's more instruction. Yeah, normally it's not just you are. Every now and then that gets thrown out there a little bit. But, you know, that's only on rare occasions. But yeah, there's times when those sort of things get thrown out there. But I think majority of the time you've got to make it constructive for the player to actually take anything from it, you know, because otherwise as a younger player coming in, they're not going to you know, take it in.
Ebo, the showdown,
yes.
You know, what does it mean to you building up to it? Is it, you still got the fire in the belly for it? Or
yeah, definitely, mate. Yeah, showdown's always good. I think it's more just the fact that there's, you know, a lot more hype and a lot more talk around the week. So that's, I probably don't get over the top, you know, overwhelmed or anything by it throughout the week. But yeah, as the week, you know, finalises and finishes up and you have your main session today, and I think that's when you really tell that, okay, now we're going into a big game and we've got to win.
We saw what it meant to Kenny after the last win when he was sort of going off in the box going 1-0, you know, after you'd lost the last five. I saw it last night on AFL 360. It is a bit funny looking at it.
Oh, yeah.
And he copped a bit of a heat about it. But,
he was copping a bit of stick at the club.
Has he already sort of brought it up at training? You know, let's beat these bastards, sort of thing. You know, like because there is a hate, and that's good because you want rivalry in football. But surely he's already talking about because I reckon it ignited your season a bit, that win, didn't it?
Yeah, it probably did. Yeah, the way that we won as well. I think that in the last showdown, you look at the way that it sort of went and. Yeah, we were able to really get on a roll from that. But in terms of, yeah, like we've definitely talked about it as a group and been like, you know, because especially coming off a 6-day break, like we only got back from Ballarat, you know, 11 o'clock on Sunday.
You think
night.
You'll be all right? Or do you want a forfeit?
Hey, no, we'll be break. Fine, mate. But that's what I mean. 6-day break, we're switching straight into the next game. We're already ready.
That sounded like an excuse.
Give him nothing.
No, I'm saying 6-day break turned us into showdown mode straight away, mate. Yeah, that's it. Okay, that's the way you want to do it. So
Finally, Brad, before you leave us, before the showdown, a fellow called Chris Squire is going to kick for 40 grand right now. If it was you, would you kick from 20 metres for 20 grand or 30 metres for 30
grand?
He can take his pick, or would you go the full 40?
Oh, if you're a confident guy, I'm going 40.
40?
Yeah, but like if how old is he?
25.
Oh, then, yeah, go
but
40.
But if you can't kick out of a jam.
Yeah, that's it. If you can't play footy, though, then you're definitely just taking 20K and taking your...
Can you think of any...
It's pretty handy cash, isn't it? 20 metres.
That happens 20. When you listen to Triple M.
Exactly, yeah.
Roughly what we pay you to come in here.
Exactly.
Talk to us. Brad Ebert for Conway IT.
What I'd rather be doing, a 50 and 40 minute kick.
Good luck in the showdown.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Good luck, Ebert.
Brad Ebert.
Ruined Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome...
Lehman.
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Yes, sing along to the opener.
Yeah,
wow, three years, guys. Congratulations.
Yeah.
3 years.
I'll be 68 when we finish.
Mm. I'll tell you what, all I've got to say to that is, who do you two have photos of? Because seriously, can we drug test management? Because I mean, do you guys get paid per mistake? Is it? are your KPIs built around stuff ups?
Well, I hope so. I'll tell you what.
I mean, Andy Mundine. mean? Come on, Ruth.
Come off it.
This is the most talked about person in Australian sport over the last 20 years. You can't get... What's your middle name, Ruth, by the way?
Anthony.
There we go. And you couldn't remember that it's bloody Anthony Mundine.
Listen, every now and then you make a mistake, Lima. That doesn't mean it happens all the time.
Oh, I tell you what, a three-year contract. You know, this is like the AFL announcing the entertainment of this year's grand final is going to be Meatloaf. Like, seriously.
Oh, no.
Has no one learned from their mistakes?
Oh, no.
This is like...
Man,
this
that's
is like,
unfair.
This is like ordering an Uber, and then I get into the Uber, the Uber drives straight into a tree, and then I say, can I book you for the next 3 years?
We're not that bad.
It is unbelievable. This is the same management company that employed you, you goose.
And they sacked me. Hey, it's catchy, though. This is the problem with you two. It's catchy. Alice the Wag, who's one of the best producers in the country, one of the best.
Easily. In the top 10.
She forgets to take a footy to a footy kicking competition. Yeah. She wouldn't have done that anywhere else.
It rubs off on others, I tell you. Don't worry about that. We are a well-drilled and oiled machine here.
You are. And my issue is the only reason I come on this show was to undermine you two and steal your jobs. Now you're signed for another bloody 3 years.
That's all right. We're happy to have you a couple of times a week, Lemo.
Here we go.
That's all right.
Martin and Malloy. Hamish and Andy ruined it.
Exactly. There's no doubt we're in the same category.
Laurel and Hardy.
Dumb and dumber.
Hey, guys, just a quick one for you. Sorry, got distracted there.
Mm.
Hey, how's this story about Alex Johnson for the Swans?
Yeah, good effort to come back after about 5 years, isn't it?
It's amazing. But you know what I found interesting about this story? Is that it's because it got a lot of press yesterday.
Mm.
His comeback has been expressed in the press in quite a few different ways. So, for example, I read somewhere they said it's his first game since the 2012 grand final. Right?
Yeah, that's a good
Someone
way.
Else
yep,
said
yep.
it's his first game after 5 knee reconstructions.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
Someone else said it's his first game for 2,135 days.
Right.
But I read this headline on Fox Sports, right? On Fox Sports, true story, headline yesterday, it said, it's his first game since Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style.
Well, that puts it into perspective. Gangnam Style.
And isn't that, I love it.
That's
isn't
how he that, did his knee.
That's how he dancing to Gangnam Style. You bloody idiot. Oh, more people did their knees dancing to that song than anything else.
Oh, and so, that really tested his mental resilience, too, doing that. Hearing that.
Really, it did.
Who did say that? Who said
it, Gangnam
it
was
Style?
It was an article on Fox Sports yesterday. Is. That was the headline.
Signed them up for 3 years.
It's still there if you want to read it. Yeah. But I thought, what a great way to express a moment in time. Instead of saying the year that something happened, you just play the biggest song from that year.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Right. So, for example, I could say to you guys, hey, someone could say, hey, when was Roo's last game of AFL football? Well, instead of saying the year, you could say, oh, Roo's last game of AFL football was in... There we go. 2007.
2007, right? Of course. Yeah, we know that.
You could say, when did Roo win a flag with the Crows? Oh, that was in...
And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white
guy.
That
must have been 98.
98, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, but that's how it works. All right, let's keep going. Hey, let's say Dits.
Mm.
Someone says, well, when did Dits last appear at a World Open squash final?
Right, yeah.
Oh, that was in...
Don't tell my heart.
What year was that?
With a mullet. I've got no idea.
Oh, come on.
Heavens. What year was that?
Oh, come on, Dits. Yeah, don't tell me. Forgetting about the squash, you
One
know when that
just
song...
fades into another. I'm serious. What year was that?
That was 1992.
Right.
And don't tell me you and one of the Khan brothers weren't square dancing around the court before the
achy breaky heart in Pakistan.
Yeah. See, this is funny. You guys are getting the hang of it.
Yeah.
So then we can say, someone can say, oh, in what year was Dits born?
Mm.
And instead of saying the year, you can just say, there it is. Yeah. So instead of saying 1885, yeah. Right. You just play that.
All right. No worries.
Oh, Limo.
There we go. So let's just start using songs if we can.
Good on you, Limo. Hey,
thanks for your help, Limo.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, guys. I'm looking forward to another 3 years. Hey, very quickly, the beep test this Sunday on Fox Footy.
Yeah, who you got?
We got Dipper. He's a bloody force of nature. He's hilarious. And Mark Harvey is the other hard unit we've got on the beep test.
They'll probably have a fight, those two.
They could have. Well, we're throwing out a mat so they can go for
gold. Essendon v Hawthorn games, they always ended in a fight.
They absolutely
when they
did.
Played, yeah.
So we're bringing the rivalry back this Sunday. The beep test, Fox Footy after the bounce.
Good on you, Limo.
Good work, Limo.
Good on you, guys.
See you, mate.
Yep. You did this last year as well on the lead up to the big $40,000 kick. You took Chris Squire down to the Parklands.
Yep.
To have a coaching session and help him with his kick in the lead up. How'd it go?
Well, it never really started, to be honest.
What do you mean?
I went down there with Biggles. Biggles, Rhett Biggles, had given up his time to come down there to the Parklands to help out Chris get a routine and give him some direction about...
Hang on. So we got a ruckman in charge all of a sudden.
Well, that, I wasn't going to go.
That worries me.
You know, I had the man flu. But Biggles gave up his time for Triple M to come down and give Chris a hand.
Right.
Because we'd heard that, you know, he was a gun young footballer and bits and pieces. And we got down there and, you know, you just expect that, you know, Triple M would be well organised. And
sorry, who was in charge of this whole segment, by the way?
Well, I think Alice was.
The Wag. This has got crap written all over it.
Should have thought twice about it, but I wasn't in the great state myself. Anyway, risk getting pneumonia and get down there and see Chris out there in his high-vis gear running
You're all
around.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
All ready to, you know, shoot for goal.
And no football.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, you'd expect that'd be one of the first things you'd pack.
So Chris has taken the day off work to come in.
Yeah, and half a day off by his boss, who's flat out.
Right. So Alice had one job.
Yep. One job.
to
bring a football to a kicking
competition. So you've got the cameraman down there.
You're kicking for 40,000
And he's rolling.
Bucks.
And everyone, you look around and go, who's got the footy?
Yep.
Right. Alice.
Yeah.
Good morning.
This is so fun. I love working with you two.
So,
well, just do your job properly and it'll be all right.
What happened, Alice?
We just didn't think of taking a football down. It was all a bit rushed.
So is that our fault? Is it? Is that who's? Do you want to blame someone else for that? That you didn't think?
Taking responsibility for my actions.
Can I just ask a question? On the weekend, when there's 50,000 people sitting in the Adelaide Oval, we go 40,000. The big intro, $40,000 kick for cash. Oh, didn't I bring a footy?
Anyone got some goals?
Just not something that crossed my mind at all.
Nah, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. A footy in a kicking contest.
Alice, honestly.
I know.
Oh,
I'm just so embarrassed. I don't even know what to say. Like
one job. So anyway, then how did you
rectify? Then I quickly called one of the guys who was in the office, and I knew we had a football in the office. And I
Tim had been playing with one all morning.
Yeah, so
we got a footy here in the studio, which is pretty handy.
Yeah.
You need one in the studio. Yeah.
So I quickly called and said, quick, someone jump in a car and drop this football down, which happened in about 5 minutes. I would say good work by me.
It was a long, cold trip.
Okay, it was pretty cold and really sick.
And then what happened?
So then we get the football out of the car and I hand it to this guy called Lee and I said, do you want to run it over to the boys?
Lee's from our promotions department.
Correct.
Yeah.
Just hang on. I just needed to say, just make sure it's pumped up, please, before you bring it down.
Oh, that'd be handy.
That was the feedback.
Right.
So they packed a pump for us. So they packed the footy in the pump, handed it through the car window as they've driven past us. I've handed the footy to Lee. I said, you run it over. And he said, oh, okay. He said, give me the pump. I'll pump it as I'm running. And in my head, I thought, that's probably not a great idea. So he tries to pump it as he's running.
Right.
And the needle obviously snaps inside the football.
Right. Oh,
and so we turn up to Roo with our finger on the little thing.
Right. In the meantime, I'm saying to Biggles, look at these idiots. They are going to, seriously, they are going to snap the pump here. They don't know what they're doing.
Mm.
And this is what happened.
They snapped the needle in it.
Oh, so we're walking up without the needle.
Me, it was me.
You're kidding me, man. So when you take your finger off, it's going to go...
Can you shove something in it?
Well, I don't know what that's going to do, but...
It's going to be flat in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You can't pump it up each time.
Nah, let's go, righto.
This is fantastic.
So I can hear the air coming out of that footy. Yeah. So don't tell me the footy. So you had to.
There's more hold, air coming out.
You had to
of,
hold your finger on the footy.
Alice's head too. Oh, I can tell you.
God,
because they were pretty deflated.
So once you've kicked the ball through the air, it's like
Lee was nearly ready to resign.
Yeah,
so we had take, one kick, I wasn't and then stop it was him. Just flat.
So you had one kick.
I've
oh, that's
never
good.
Seen a flatter football.
No, good preparation. That's fantastic.
We've got a bloke kicking for a deposit on a house
yeah.
that could change his life.
This is a circus.
And we're delivering a flat footy.
Mm. Well, hang on. You had no footy at the start. That was better. Flat footy was better than no footy.
Well, sort of.
Right. Can I just ask people out there listening, like Alice, you had one job. You had one job to do.
When have you stuffed it?
And you stuffed it.
Like yeah. when you go fishing, you forget the bait or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
and you get all the way out there.
You know, last night I was at Taps and they told me a story about Max. Max, the young apprentice. Turns up on the work site and gets the truck bogged so no one could get in or out of the work site all day. I mean, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Now, we've got showdown tickets to give away.
Beautiful. Well, let's give a couple away.
Rue, can you make sure there's a footy for the showdown, please?
I reckon the Adelaide Crows.
The Crows get out there and they start looking around going, who's got the footy? It'll be embarrassing.
Yeah.
All right. Good on you, Alice. Well done.
Thanks
133353. Give us a buzz.
When you had one job. One job. That's all you had to do.
Let's go to Mount Barker. G'day, Johnny.
How you going?
Good.
Yeah, so, I forgot the rings at my own wedding.
Oh, Johnny.
Johnny.
You're joking.
What happened? Where'd you leave them?
I left them in the hotel where we were getting ready.
Yeah, but you were nervous, Johnny. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Isn't it the best man's job?
Well, my best men were my nephews who were like 5 and 3, so I figured I'd probably follow them.
So what'd you do?
You can't blame the 5-year-old, I suppose.
I had to borrow my mother-in-law's ring for my wife, and then one of my mates ring for me, for myself.
So was it at the point where you're at the altar and the celebrant says, and now let's exchange rings, you must have gone, oh, hang on.
No, I forgot them.
Hang on. Is that what happened?
No, we're rocked up at the place and the celebrant goes, oh, you got the rings? I go, oh, no.
Oh, no.
And so, yeah.
All just, right, that's well, you'll remember that forever, Johnny. Well done. Your
well
wedding
done, Johnny.
Day.
Yep. Good stuff. Let's go to Huntfield Heights. G'day, Jack.
How you going, lad?
Good, Jack.
What happened?
A couple of years ago, I got the job of printing off all the festival tickets for a big group of us. And we're in the bus on the way down. As we were at the festival, I'd hand out the tickets and then realised I'd left them at home.
Oh, Jack. So what did you
we
do?
We get on the bus and drive all the way back down south and go get them.
Oh, well done. All right.
Let's go to Prospect. G'day, George.
How you going, boys?
What have you done, George?
Oh, this was going back 40 years ago. Wife's grandparents, for our wedding, they decided that they'd like to help us out. We thought, oh, yeah, we'll take what we can get. They said, look, leave the chickens to us. We'll organise the chooks for you. So we had about 160, I think, from memory, coming along.
Yeah.
Anyway, about 3 hours before the show, or before the wedding, get a frantic call from the caterer saying, when's the rest of the chickens coming? They've sent 6. So we've had 6 chooks for 160 people. So here we are, 3 hours before the wedding, running around to all these chook shops trying to buy as many chooks as we can.
Oh, no.
You don't need that sort of stress, do you?
No.
Good on you, George.
Good on you, mate. Let's go to Hewitt. G'day, Andy.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good. What have you done?
Well, picture this. Brand new boat. Going to take it out for the first time, me and the missus. I'll go fill it up with petrol. So take it down to the local BP and go to fill it up and filling away and oh geez, I smell petrol. Oh, don't tell me he's got a leak in the hose or something. So called the guy at the petrol station. He come over, spill kit because there's about $25 worth of fuel in the back of this boat. Turns out I put the filler into the rod holder instead of the fuel tank.
My best mate did that too, Andy.
That happens.
I tell you. And the problem was the boat had a carpet in it, so just could not get rid of the smell. I was there scrubbing it for about 2 days.
No smoking.
And throw the carpet and everything out, mate.
Bad luck. No good at all.
All right, Roo, some good calls there. Let's send someone off to the footy.
Oh, the first one, the man who was going to have a Weber without a Weber.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Chris from Nova Gardens, you are off to the showdown, mate. Congratulations. You got a double to go to Adelaide Oval Saturday afternoon to see Port and the Crows, and you can book now at Ticketek.
Hey, Roo, every caller tomorrow, just a reminder, being Friday, every caller tomorrow on this show and throughout the day until 4 p.m., double to the showdown, okay? So everyone that gets through. Hey, thanks to Carlton Draft, 2018 Clash Cans, the perfect brewery fresh way to show support for your club. And as I said, all day tomorrow here on Triple M.
Time for the pressure test. Give us a buzz. 1-3-3-5-3 if you want to win $1,000 cash. Then we've got Brad Ebert. Then we've got Russell Coit from All Aussie Adventures.
Triple M and RAA's 40K kick for cash puts you on a packed Adelaide Oval before the showdown.
Wow!
No loopholes. Just one kick for $40,000. RAA, we do more.
Now, we've got our man Chris Squire. He is the lucky man that's going to kick at the showdown on the weekend. Now, it was an absolute circus yesterday. You took him out to have a training session with him. And he got down there. If you missed this earlier this morning, Alice the Wag had one job. So you go down to do a training session to kick for goal, and what happened?
Didn't bring a footy.
Didn't have a footy.
Did not have a footy. And you'll hear in this little montage that we've got of our training session, the first kick, the ball went flat.
So when a ball eventually arrived.
Yeah, it was pumped up and then we had a session.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Chris, just tell us a bit about your footy career before we get into what's important so they can win 40,000 cash on the weekend. You did play for the West Coast Eagles.
Yes, I did. I went up there for a working holiday and
what, played to Perth for the West Coast Eagles?
Streaky Bay, mate.
Come on.
Make sure you get the same routine, all right?
We had a quick look at his technique and there's a little flow through it.
Let's have a little jump, so.
Oh, hang on.
He's kicked the air out of the football.
Lee.
He's kicked the air out of the football.
I reckon he's a 40 grand kicker. Oh, he can't miss.
That's 8 in a row. After the first
one. I reckon there's a house deposit coming your way, Chris. It's the key things. Just don't do anything different on Saturday, all right? What you just did then today, you got 9 out of 10.
So risk-taking profile, where would you put yourself? Yeah. What type of car do you drive, first of all?
Toyota Corolla.
Oh, 0 out of 10.
Yeah, so you're going from 25 metres.
Yeah.
Mm. Volvo driver. You sure you don't want to go from 40?
Nah, mate, I need
not
this a, money. I'm going to get myself out of debt and on the front foot in life for a house deposit.
Oh, gee whiz.
Oh, good on him.
He's a good lad, this boy. I tell you right now, he's a really, really nice lad. So I hope he does kick from, you know, around wherever he's comfortable. I'm certainly not going to push
him
into it.
Now, give us the good oil. Can he kick or not?
Yeah, he's not bad. He got 9 out of 10 yesterday. He's got a little bit of a ball drop issue.
Oh,
and I tell you, if it's windy and wet, that comes into play, Dits, big time. So
don't say that.
You just asked me.
Well, I don't know. Fudge it a little bit. Don't be so honest.
No, he can still get, like, that's it's not the end of the world.
Ball drop issue.
Mate, Jimmy Cracker had a ball drop issue, but he was a superstar. So you can still get away from it. You just probably might have to kick from a bit closer if it's windy.
He didn't only have a ball drop issue. He had a few other issues. Now, let's, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're trying to help Chris here. We're going to get, you know, when you listen to Triple M Footy on the weekend, you always hear about the Chew Man. He is the best stats man in the world. I think he's a 6-time premiership stats man, isn't
he? Yeah, he is. Yeah,
all right, we're talking Ash Chewer. Let's get him on. Chew Man, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Dits. And Ash's statistician as well. Harry likes to pump that up for me, but I'll put that in my resume anyway. But no, thanks for those.
How many premierships have you been a statistician for?
Well, 2 day, 2 night. And you know what? Oh. Dits, you're right. 6, because I just realised also 2 reserves are premierships. That,
oh, there you go.
Medals as well.
Wait, they're on the resume.
We actually don't count the reserves, Ash, here in Adelaide. Okay.
Right. Now, Ash, we need the stats. What are the chances of our man Chris Squire kicking this goal? Now, he's got the option. There are different options, obviously. For he can go 10 metres if he wants, or 20 metres, or 30 or 40, or you know, anything in between. What's the likelihood of him kicking this goal?
If you sort of break it down, it's like, you know, if he's ambitious going from about 40 to 50 metres thereabouts, say 40 metres, 50% is the conversion rate. Now,
50.
I'm assuming, is he taking this directly in front from the corridor?
Yeah, okay.
So 50%, so he's rolling the dice, I guess.
And bear in mind, they're full-time footballers. They get paid a lot of money.
Yes,
but 50%. Exactly. All right, that's not great.
Exactly.
But what about around 30, Chua?
Yeah, 30 is looking about 67%.
Rightio.
Oh,
okay,
right.
Well, that's
slightly,
2 out of 3.
67.
Yeah, what about 20?
20 is steps up to 81%, Rudy.
All right, 81%.
4 out of 5.
Right,
yeah.
That's better odds.
And if he was to have a ping from, say, you know, 15 metres
15 metres, yeah.
You know, just about
that's
impossible
15 grand
to miss, surely.
Well, I know one player in that at 100% from 0 to 15. It was yourself, Andrew. But the AFL average is 98.6 to be precise.
Now, who misses from 15
well,
out
Andrew
in the
Jarman
AFL?
Missed.
Oh, he did too. You're
Plus
right.
The premiership.
Yeah, that's right. So 98.6. Jars is in that, what, 1.4% that missed.
On the biggest stage of all time.
Well, I was going to say, if he wants to look at some vision, maybe Josh Caddy. You know, he's now 21 from set shots this year, has Josh Caddy. So.
Yeah, he's got a good technique, hasn't he?
He has.
Benny Brown.
Yeah, Benny Brown. But
oh, what, so take a 60-metre run-up? Is that what you're
saying? I was going to say, from full back, you probably have a stitch by the time he connects boot to ball. But, yeah, good. Darren Jarman, well, you guys would know.
Yeah, that, exactly. Yep. Just didn't all flow right. through the family.
Thanks for all your help this morning, Chu, man. That's very, very handy. So that should help Chris decide where he's going to kick from.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this, Ditz. He's a good lad, and it's a great competition to win $40,000 on Saturday afternoon in front of 50-odd thousand people at Adelaide Oval. It's a dream come true, and it could be he's stoked, this kid. He could be the start of a house deposit or pay off a bit of debt for him, so it's going to be a great Saturday afternoon.
There was a story this week that just really, really touched me. I love it when I read stories like this. And we're talking about Katy Perry dropping in on a young, sick fan here in South Australia.
Yep, absolutely. It was on the news. There was nearly a few tears in our house watching it last night. It was
What a great thing she did. Yep. Now, it was a sick young girl, but we'll let Mum tell the story. Marie from Banksia Park is on the line. She is the mum. Marie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Tell us how this all came about. How did Katy Perry get to be at your house?
The power of the love of a big sister, I'll put it down to.
Yeah.
So, because Grace was diagnosed with a brain tumour early this year and has been quite ill. One thing that she was really looking forward to was going to see Katy. And when last week we had a bit of a setback, realised that she most likely wouldn't be at the concert. Her older sisters started messaging different places. TR went to Twitter and got 20,000 retweets, and
Marie, can we just ask you to move, because your phone's cutting in and out, but we caught the fact that there were 20,000 retweets as a result of Grace's big sister actually starting this and getting the ball rolling. Now, Marie, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
That sounds better. That sounds great. So now tell us, what's big sister's name?
Tiana.
So she's done a great thing here. How old's Tiana?
She's 16.
How good's that? What a beautiful thing to do. And now, did you know that Katy Perry was coming, or did she surprise you? How did that all happen?
I found out late Monday afternoon, but was sworn to secrecy. I wasn't allowed to tell anyone, so not even the kids.
How hard was that? How did you keep it to yourself?
It was very hard.
What did it do for your daughter who's sick? It must have been a big boost.
It definitely was. It's just put a smile on her face that we hadn't seen for quite a while with everything she's gone through. Yeah. So
and she had no idea. Grace had no idea this was happening.
No idea.
So when the front door opened, explain that to us. What happened then?
Well, when Katy, the two black vans sort of pulled in, we sort of said, "Oh, Grace, you got a visitor," and she was like, "Oh, it's Nan and Pop because my parents have got a black van." But then she realised there was two vans, and she's like, "No, it's not Nana Pop." And she's like, "I can't go out there. It's a stranger." And I'm like, "No, no, go and go out there." And she just kept thinking it was a stranger, so she couldn't. So she finally walked out the front door with me, and then Katy popped her head out the van, and she her face just lit up. She knew straight away it was Katy there. And,
What was she like? She a genuinely nice girl? Or?
She is the most down-to-earth, genuine. My husband was saying she's dinky die, and she was getting all dinky die. What does that mean?
Teaches some Australian words. That's good. Yeah.
And so
how long did she stay for? And like, did you have a cup of tea or a coffee? What happened?
She was there for just over an hour.
Wow.
She sort of went through, wanted to see Grace's bedroom and just really personally chatted. I've got five kids, so she personally chatted with them all.
Oh, gee.
And then sang three songs to Grace as well.
Oh,
she had two band members with her, so
Well, that is
it's a beautiful story, and I hope Grace has really got a little boost out of this, and let's hope that she's on the road to recovery. But, Marie, thanks for sharing it with us, and that story makes me feel really good now.
Yep, good stuff. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. It is a good feel story.
And good luck with everything too, Marie. It must be very tough what you're going through.
Yeah, been a tough few months, so this has just really given us all a
good lift, the whole family. Well, so
and good luck to the other siblings too, because I know often that kind of gets forgotten a little bit. And well done to Tiani, a 16-year-old, for being so thoughtful. So well done, Marie.
Beautiful, thank you.
Good luck. Yeah, Marie from Banksia Park. Rue, what a beautiful story.
Yep, winners all round. Let's hope they have some
and
luck.
Well
that
done,
family.
Katy Perry. I know she's not listening this morning, but it makes me feel very, very good about Katy Perry, Rue. Yep. Good on you. Rue and Ditsy are on Triple M.
Ladies, Rue and Dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Rue and Dits, Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Rue and Dits.
Well done, Laura, girls, ladies. We've got Batesy, we've got our new recruit, Susan, and Alice the Wag. Alice, what's this first topic you've got for us?
Well, it's an increase in demand of men who are getting calf implants.
Calf implants.
Yes. Where do you get this garbage from, Wag?
It's
seriously.
From Men's Health magazine,
it's not in
actually.
Come on.
A guy in the UK, a plastic surgeon, said it used to be they used to do 5 years ago, maybe once a month, but it was rare. And now they're getting 2 to 3 people a week coming in to get them.
A calf implant.
And they're getting either silicone implants or fat drained from their buttocks into their calf. And it costs about $140,000.
$140,000?
Yep.
No.
What, a calf's a turn on, are they, for girls?
I wouldn't say that, no.
But good legs are better
I think
than...
muscles in general are a turn-on, but as soon as they're fake, it's not a turn-on.
Susan, do you ever look at a bloke and go, gee, great calves?
Oh, I think it's nice to have a sexy leg.
Yep.
Sexy leg.
Yep.
Well, what's the best part of a bloke?
Oh, his face, of course.
It is just his face?
Yeah.
No. So he can have a shocking body, but he's got to be good-looking.
Yeah, I'm not all about the body.
No?
I think it's important to have a nice face.
Righto.
Nice to have a good body too, but...
Yeah.
You know, hard to get the whole package sometimes.
Right. So you're easily pleased. Right. Okay. Batesy.
I have never heard anyone comment on another man's calves. Like, none of my girlfriends, I can't believe it. I've never looked at a guy's calves ever. Right.
So what's the best attribute of a bloke?
I think probably his smile and then his bum.
Right.
Far out. I reckon she likes the bum a bit better than the smiley guy. Honestly, she couldn't wait to blurt that out.
So you Peter, know? The war hero, has he got a good backside?
He does have a good bum. He has good legs too, actually.
Okay.
You'll be staring at a few bums if you do the City to Bay this year.
Yeah. I'll be at the end, that's for sure.
Alice the Wag, what's important on a bloke? Which body part?
When a guy smiles, it's the gap between his teeth and his lips.
What?
You guys don't have it.
Got that.
It's like when they have such a big smile, you can see past their teeth, like there's a bit of a gap, and it's so hot. And also shoulders. Oh, yeah.
And you guys don't have them.
Oh, I don't have that either.
Obviously not.
This, we're going to have to go and get calf implants. Yeah.
My brother has really big calves.
Oh, of course he does.
He was born with them because he doesn't work out. He says, my calves are so big, they're like baby cows.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, it's not my joke. It's his. Thank you.
All right.
Let's.
Nah, good.
No, that was it. Was good.
just move on, Wack.
This is actually a serious topic, so let's stop laughing. All right. The stabbing that happened yesterday. It's happening too much at the moment, and it's happening with girls. Why is it that girls get into a state where they feel the need to stab someone? Seriously.
Yeah. I was thinking about this last night. I don't think that bullying necessarily has become any different than when I was growing up. I think the difference is now it's just so easy because you can't escape from it. So you get bullied at school, you go home, you get bullied on social media. It's a lot more private. Like if I wanted to call someone after hours, I'd have to call the home phone. Like it just doesn't. It's just not what we used to do. Whereas now you can get bullied on social media. They can text you. They can Snapchat you. You just can't escape from it. So I think you just end up in such a state because you just feel trapped.
Now, you've got a young sister, haven't you?
Yeah,
she's 18.
She's
still at school?
She just left
last
year.
Right, so you saw her go through some of these issues?
Yeah, massively. So she'd come home and she'd be in a state about it. And then in the middle of the night, a couple of times in the middle of the night, she'd wake me up crying because she's had Snapchats or they've posted these like subliminal like Instagram posts that are bitchy. And
are they friends that are doing it most of the time?
It's a combination of friends and not friends.
So
that's
why,
the scary
why do girls
part.
Do this? Are blokes the same?
No, I don't think so. I
why
think the thing is
so...
guys have a fight, they punch on, and then like 20 minutes later they're playing footy.
Mm.
Whereas women, it's just like it's emotional warfare. It's just a different kind
emotional
of fighting.
Emotional warfare.
It is though. It is. You just sort of fight like with words, and it lasts so much longer, and it's so much more passive aggressive.
Susan, can you add to this? Now, you've got four young children. Are you concerned about them? Some of them have started school, but only primary school. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about them moving forward?
Yeah, definitely. I think girls these days, even from a really young age, are subjected to things on social media that girls a long time ago weren't subjected to.
So even young girls?
Yeah, definitely.
In what way?
I've got a 7-year-old that's come home and told me things that I've been blown away by.
At 7 years of age?
Yeah.
Is there anything you can share with us or not? Or is it a bit personal?
She's a cruisy sort of 7-year-old, so I'm quite lucky. But I know I've got friends who've got kids the same age that, you know, struggle with bullying and don't know how to handle certain situations.
At seven?
But I think with social media, I think, you know, they're not mature enough, and they're not mature enough these days to actually, you know, take in what they're actually seeing. So they don't know how to actually handle certain situations. Mm. And I think it comes back to parenting. I think it's about explaining to the children, you know, how to deal in certain situations. And if they, you know, do something, how to actually deal with that, and how to, you know, make sure they're not hurting other people's feelings at the same time.
Alice, earlier this morning we had a discussion about the fact that there was a stabbing last week in a high school in the Riverland. Now there's one a week later. It's almost, you've got to ask the question, was it a copycat? But do you think that these girls think it's notorious? Like, I get notoriety by being in the paper and being the centre of attention. Do you think there's any of that in it or not?
I would really hope not. But then you look at all these shootings in America and you think, why else would you do it? And, you know, some of them have posted on social media before they've done it, and they think they're, you know, dying a hero.
Mm.
And I just hope that they're not doing it for the
hero.
Fame. Yeah, they think they are, I think. But it's,
well, they're splashed
terrific
across the newspapers and the TV screens, aren't they?
Mm.
I'm wondering if there is some of that in it.
Well, there's no, nothing good about it.
No, there's not. But do they see it that way, that all of a sudden they become a worldwide story?
It's probably more just planted that seed of the idea of you can do that.
Mm.
I would hope, rather than a copycat. But girls just have that streak of jealousy. And I also think, like, because I went to a private girls' school, and I used to come home crying nearly every night, saying to mum and dad, please just send me to the co-ed school.
You used to come home crying nearly
every... Not because I was bullied, but I'd gone to a co-ed primary school, and I just loved hanging out with boys and playing footy at lunchtime, and I didn't want to be sitting around in a circle eating our sandwiches. They literally have nothing else to do but bitch about each other.
What do they get out
and they
play
all just
sport?
Fight. Well, I don't know. That's just not... It's not natural, I don't think. Well, in
what
my
do you
time
mean? So girls, this is an interesting question now. So girls at lunchtime wouldn't just grab a netball and say, come on, let's all go out and shoot shots.
Never once happened in my high school. They just don't do it. They sit around, they like talk about fashion, and then in
turn
they
break
into
groups.
See, we joke
about what girls do, Dits, don't we? We joke about how they, you know, they're hopeless without blokes, and if we go to the pub, they'll end up down there. You know, you say stuff like that. Why can't they go and do stuff themselves?
I honestly wish I knew the answer to that question. I
spent
my whole high school thinking about it.
So that starts from a young kid, you're saying?
Yeah, but then, like, you know, if I was to get a group of girls together and we would, like, play Tiggy on the Oval, then you instantly become, like, the group of girls that, like, you know, a bit butchy looking because you're playing sport, and then instantly you guys get a label. So everyone's just so scared of getting labels and the jealousy that you just kind of move around like sheep because you're too scared to step outside the boundaries.
Susan, I've heard stories just going on from this. I've heard stories about it going on that girls, I'll get sweaty and, you know, smelly, and whereas the boys don't really care about that. Is that a part of it in school, do you think? Like, girls are too interested in how they're looking and...
Probably a bit about how they're looking, but sweaty and things like that, I don't think that's an issue. But I think, going on from what Alice said, I think it's all about being branded as a tomboy as such.
Yeah, right.
And you don't fit in with the you know, the natural mould.
Mm.
It's just,
It doesn't help as well, like, dresses are compulsory.
I was about to say that.
So, like, it's very hard to run around and play footy in a dress.
And knee-high socks.
Yeah. Right. Whereas boys don't have that issue.
See, they're
that's
things
why
we probably don't even think about. Yeah. I wouldn't know that.
Well, I should change
especially
that if that's an issue.
You're a teenager.
Seriously.
Things are going on. You feel uncomfortable with your body. You're not going to go play footy in a dress.
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
Mm. Yeah.
You haven't missed Ruined Dits, so don't miss SA's newest supercar event at the Bend Motorsport Park. Tickets at thebend.com.au.